I'm glad to see y'all this morning. How y'all doing? Good? That's good. I'm not going to press the point. I'm just glad to be here myself. It's good to be in Ardmore, Oklahoma. I'm just said this morning started out foggy, but I believe the fog's lifted and we're here to worship the Lord. What great singing y'all have in this church. And I appreciate Brother David, the way you lead this bunch. I'm telling you, I think they sing with enthusiasm. That's good. And I love your pastor. He and I have been friends for a long time. He sits by me in some meetings just to get me in trouble. He gets me tickled, and I've never laughed silently, quietly. I grew up facing the corner through third grade, and I never actually graduated third grade. I outgrew the desk, but when I was in my desk, I was supposed to be studying and be laughing, and so Alton must have found that out because every meeting I wind up having to leave early because he's got me in trouble, but I like him anyway, and he invited me this week to be here at this church, and I'm telling you, getting to be in a church where a man's been your pastor for 3 decades is just pretty special. There are not many places. Amen. There are just not many places where folks have had a pastor 30 years have done so very well. Your church has an enormous reputation for godliness. And your pastor is a stellar leader in our state, in your city and state, and now in our convention. And I'm very grateful. He and Miss Judy, their family, have done such a wonderful job here. And I know you love them, and he loves you. I'm always glad to be with a pastor who loves his people. Sometimes you go to a church and you hear the woes. He comes and talks about the blessings. And I'm just grateful to be here. I pray I don't mess anything up, Brother Alton. I do. I just love what you're doing and what God's doing with you. This week, I need revival. I don't know why y'all came. I hope you'll come back. But when he called and said, we'd like to have a revival in our church, I'm always eager because I'm always standing in the need of one. You know, our nation needs revival. Our churches need revival. We've had so many heartaches in church life because of just all kinds of things. But the greatest difficulty is a generation is being reared that knows not Joseph. And they sure don't know Jesus. And if we don't turn the tide and see a great awakening or revival at some point, we're going to miss a generation. And that would sure be sad. And so what you're doing this week, we don't have to ask if God's in charge of it or wants it. He longs for his people to have a hot heart for him. And so I hope you'll take time to come this week to each of the services. I'm not bringing one, but I sure would like to join you in seeing one somewhere. A revival is going to break out in this nation, I really believe. We desperately need it. And the time, the times are right, and it always is the darkest just before the dawn. So wouldn't it be just like God to descend on Ardmore, Oklahoma, and from here, like prairie fires, the fire of revival, go out to the nation. So I pray this week we don't just have a meeting. I pray we have a divine encounter, the real kind. Wouldn't that be great? I pray that'll be true. This morning, I want to share with you Luke 24. I know y'all are accustomed to having text on the screen, and I'm not going to do that because this is a 20 verse text. And if you heard me preach, that'd be nigh to impossible. So I'm just going to hit some key verses. This is the wonderful story of two people on the road to Emmaus on the Sunday of the resurrection. This was the first day of the week, not just any first day, that first day when Christ came alive from the grave. And the Bible says by that afternoon, he's walking with two people 7 miles to their little village of Emmaus. Everything you ever see about going to Jerusalem is up to Jerusalem because it's mountainous. And every time you leave Jerusalem, you're going down because you've got to come down the hills to go anywhere else. So late in the day, they're leaving Jerusalem, coming back to their little village 7 miles away called Emmaus. And we don't know really who they are. Cleopas is one of them, but who in the world is Cleopas? Now, a lot of theories about who he is, but whoever he was, and this other traveler, male or female, don't know. But whoever they were must have been pretty special because on the very morning of the resurrection, he didn't appear to Peter and John that evening. He appeared later. He was in the upper room, but I mean, he didn't seek them out specially. He walked with two for almost 7 miles. Who in the world were they? Some have speculated that Cleopas was really the brother of Joseph, husband of Mary. And we believe Joseph died early in Jesus' life. And some have said Cleopas, the uncle, the brother of Joseph, was an uncle to Jesus, may well have been that man in his life that helped him do the things he learned to do in Joseph's absence. Don't know that. But he must have been somebody pretty special for Jesus on the day of the resurrection to find these two and walk with them. So let me just pick some highlights here. Luke 24, beginning in verse, let me just touch on verse 3. Talk about the women that went to anoint the body of Jesus, 24:3 of Luke. They went in, but they didn't find the body. And then verse 11, they come to the upper room and said the things the women said seemed like nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. Now, you know how women are. You know. Well, there goes half the crowd. But you know, women in Old Testament couldn't even testify in a court of law. You didn't have the credibility. For years, you didn't have the right to vote, and everything changed once you got that. But anyway, you know, it's a whole new world. And so here, these women went out to the tomb, and the men, being men, said, well, you know, we got to go check that out for ourselves. And so Peter and John went out there and came back and said, you know, they're right. Men, doesn't it just grieve you when you have to say, dear, you were right? We could have revival if you just admit that right there. If you just say, you're right, well, you know, we could probably have revival in the church, couldn't we, women? Y'all are not ameners. I see that right now. But look what happened. So the Bible says that it didn't really make sense. And so verse 13, that same day, two of them, and again, one of them's Cleopas, we don't know the other, were on their way to a village named Emmaus, 7 miles away. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And you know they were Baptists. How do I know that? Next verse. They were on their way home from church and they were discussing and arguing. Could I have a testimony? Did anybody this morning has to have a little heated discussion on the way out the back door? Oh, you saved it for the car. Okay, good. Well, see, the truth is, the hardest day of the week to get from point A to point B is what day? Sunday, right. We got some few honest people. So here's these people. They're leaving Jerusalem. And have you ever seen Jewish people talk? Have you ever seen Middle Eastern people talk? When they do, boy, it's very animated. And they be saying good morning. You think they're going to draw knives and stab each other. I mean, it's just wild. Very intense. And so here they are walking, and they're discussing and arguing. Because once the one says one thing, the other one will dispute just the way they discuss. And the Bible says while they were discussing and arguing all the events they'd seen, the amazing thing happened. It says, verse 15, they were discussing and arguing, but they were suddenly Jesus himself, maybe your Bible doesn't say this is hard for me. Jesus came near and began to walk with them, but they were prevented from recognizing who he was. Is that possible? Can Jesus be with you and you don't know it? Can you be going through a circumstance and feel like he's departed you and the truth is he's never been nearer and you didn't know it? You know why? Sometimes the cares of this old world get us so crushed that everything in us cannot see beyond the moment. When these two were walking and discussing, they weren't doing it in the sunlight. It was almost dark. There's something about when evening comes and you're already discouraged. Boy, evening is terribly distressing. And they were walking, and I dare say they weren't walking at a rapid pace. They were walking with their heads down. They were discouraged, beat up. Now, they didn't leave home to go to Jerusalem and be beat up. Do you remember why they went to Jerusalem? They didn't go for the crucifixion. What weekend was it? Passover. So they're going like we go to Christmas. They're going with a sense of expectation. We're going to see family. We're going to see friends. And, you know, Jesus is going to be there. And this may be the year he declares he's going to take over. And suddenly we're going to redeem Israel. And we're going to be on the top. This could be the big one. And by Sunday night, they're leaving with their heads downcast. And they're discouraged and beat up. And how beat up were they? They didn't recognize Jesus. And don't be too hard on them. He just died Friday. I don't know that I would be expecting somebody died Friday to walk home with me today. So don't be too hard on them. The Bible says suddenly he was in their midst and they didn't know it. And then they try to tell Jesus. They try to tell Jesus what's going on. He said, one of them named Cleopas answered him, said, you the only person, verse 18, you the only person in Jerusalem doesn't know what things have happened here? And he said, what things? I know not in this group. I know not. But that other group had a few. Anybody here ever try to tell Jesus what's going on? The altar's open. Anybody here, when you pray, act like you need to be God's informant? Lord, you know, today we're praying for Mary. She's got bad health, and she's going to have surgery. And I think the doctor said 26 stitches and 14 pints of blood. And you think he needs to know all that? You think? Here's two people trying to tell Jesus about how he's crucified. I bet he was really impressed. Are you the only person that doesn't know what's going on? I can tell you exactly what went on. You weren't there. He said, you weren't there when they came and arrested me. You weren't there when the stinging kiss of one of my own betrayed me to my enemies. I can tell you exactly how that felt. You weren't there when I went to the house of Caiaphas. I know verbatim what he asked me and what was said about me. You weren't there in the house of Annas. I was there. You didn't stand with me in the house of Pilate, and then Herod, and then Pilate. And when he washed his hands of me after he basically turned me over to be crucified, you don't have to tell me about that. You're the only one here who doesn't know what's happened. And you know what he asked them? The strangest thing when they said, are you the only one? You know what he said? What things have happened? Do you know anybody ever ask a question they're not asking for information? Yeah. You mamas have a little child and they're coloring on your wall and you say, what are you doing? You're not asking for information. You're saying, drop that right now. Get on your knees because I'm about to, you know, if you don't hurry, you know. So you're not asking for information. You're watching what they're doing. Jesus, when he said what things, was not asking for information. He said, why don't you tell me the way you see it? Because I'm going to tell you how it really is. You know why we don't always see it the way God sees it? Because we see everything horizontally and only for a moment. He sees everything vertically and eternally and in from the beginning. So when we're trying to tell him something, it's like a 2-year-old explaining to you gravity. I fall down. Isn't that profound? You ever try to tell Jesus about what's going on? The Bible says he asked them what things because they said, all we can see is death. He said, oh, I've come to be life. What we see is sorrow and I brought you salvation. The only thing we can see is the end of a promise. Our hopes were dashed. He says, the beginning of a whole new kingdom. All we see is one who was condemned and crucified. And he said, I'm the one that's conquered. And the stone was rolled away, and the Bible says an angel was sitting upon it. Isn't that amazing? I don't mean to be ugly. I'm capable. I don't mean this ugly. But there's some of you here, you still got a, I don't mean to be ugly, but you still got that something in there somewhere, and that stone is over it. And buddy, you hadn't touched that in years, and you're not touching it this week, are you? No, that's sealed in there for a long time. That one hurt. It's so deep. Well, you just don't know what happened to me. No, I know, but the world's a hurtful place. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, no, but you're probably not the first one. You see, the truth is, some of you have never let that stone roll back. You understand the stone didn't roll back to let Jesus out. It was rolled back to let us in. But the truth is, the reason he wants to take that stone back, the Bible says when the stone was rolled, the angel was sitting on it. You're not going to move a stone an angel's sitting on. But the problem is you've never let God take it back far enough to let the light of God in to cure that hurt and that wound or that guilt or that pain. You said, nope, I'm going to hang on to that. I'll never let it go. How's that working for you? The Bible says they told Jesus what had been going on, and here's what he says, how, verse 25, this isn't kind. He says, how unwise. Well, I hope when he looks at me in glory, he doesn't first thing say, you sure were foolish. How unwise and slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, I want you to see what he's about to ask, because this still trips up an awful lot of people today. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things? And in glory, do you know anybody that says, well, I'm not coming back to church. My mama got sick and I asked Jesus to heal her and he didn't. She died. I'm just not ever coming back. She suffered. That's just not right. You're the only person that had a mama suffer. You're the only person that ever had a child suffer. You know, none of the disciples ever suffered, did they? I'm from Tulsa. We drive Cadillacs because we plant a seed and get, you know, good stuff, you know. You know. We ain't been sick in 70 years. You know. Or maybe you read the New Testament. I thought Jesus loved the disciples. So how come James was the first one to be beheaded? And how is it Thomas was shot through with arrows by the time he took the gospel to India? How is it that Peter was crucified upside down? How is it Paul was beaten with rods 5 times? It doesn't take that to get a Baptist out of church. He was whipped, stoned, and left for dead. And you know what he said? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So somewhere we've forgotten this thing of suffering. And here's what he said. Did you not know that the Messiah had to suffer? And beginning with the prophets, he preached a sermon about Jesus all the way through the Old Testament. Boy, that'd be a great sermon. And then verse 28, look at this. They came near the village where they were going, and He gave the impression he's going further, but they urged him, stay with us. And here's the prophetic word for America. The day is almost over. It sure is about to get dark. It surely is getting dark. I think our day is about over, short of a miracle. It sure is getting dark. Now, I want to tell you two things right here quickly. When the Bible says Jesus looked like he was going further, it wasn't a game. He's not playing with them. It's like you and I, if we fly somewhere or you go somewhere and you talk to somebody in a store. If I fly with somebody, many times on the way out, we'll walk the baggies claim together and they'll go get their bag out of there and I get mine, I'm out of there. But if that guy or lady I've been talking to on the plane gets her bag and his bag standing with me and I start out to my car and they're walking with my car, I say, where are you going? You see, you may be casual on the plane for an hour and a half flight, but you don't expect them to go home with you. In fact, if they do, you call somebody and say, I've got a stalker. So Jesus was being a polite guest when he walks with them for maybe 2 hours that walk downhill and it's getting dark. I mean, it's dusky dark, which may be why they didn't really realize who he was. It's dusky dark. And when they get to that fork, says Emmaus right here, he just kind of like he takes two or three steps. Wait. And they say, stay with us. Now, two things I want to share with you. He sure will walk by where people don't want him to stay. Now, I'm going to make that clear. See, biblically, there were times that people didn't really want him to stay. And what he waited to say, do you want me to stay? I remember the story of Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus had one shot. He heard Jesus. He couldn't see, but he heard the crowd. And he said, what's going on? That rabbi Jesus is passing by. And what did Bartimaeus say? Well, he probably couldn't help me. I'm not going to bother him. He was walking through town. He wasn't coming to see Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, an old blind beggar, sitting over there begging for alms, hollering, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people said, shut up, man. He's not coming to see some old poor beggar. He's with the who's who in the Chamber of Commerce. Hush. Hush! Jesus! He said it louder. Don't you just hate it when somebody doesn't listen to you? I'm a preacher, so yeah, I do. But think about it. He said it again louder. And you know what Jesus did? He was listening for somebody that wanted him to come stay with him. Would you help me? I remember fishermen were on the sea one night, but sometime between 3 and 6 in the morning, that's awfully dark. I mean, that's just before dawn, but it's dark at 3 a.m. and they were in a storm. You know, I like the water, but I don't want to be out there at night if it's stormy. These were professional fishermen. They thought they were going to drown. And as they're rowing hard against the wind, the Bible says they saw Jesus walking on the water as if he would pass them by. And Peter said, Jesus, if that's you, I believe I'd be crying out. If that's you, would you invite me to come to you? You know what? He's waiting on somebody to invite him to come. Sad thing is anymore, too many people are just not inviting him in. We don't really, you know, we just want a little dose of Jesus. We'll come on Sunday, but we don't really want him to transform us. We don't want him to take over. We're not interested in being Lord. We just interested in being a guest. See, if I come to your home as a guest, you might let me see your living room or family room or your dining area, but you're not going to take me all up through your home, and I would want to, but you're not going to take me all up in your home. You say, you're our guest. But if Jesus is really Lord, what part of you is not accessible to him? We don't really want him. We don't want all of him. We just want a little bit of a good experience for affirmation so we can say, check that off. I got the church. Well, that's good, but you missed the greater encounter because when you miss Jesus, you missed it all. Now, here's what happened. He looked like he was going to walk on by, and they said, no, sir, please stay with us. You know, there are people, I don't mean this ugly, but you know there are people that have been so long since you had an encounter with Jesus, you don't even miss him. You say, no, that's not true. We are here every Sunday. No, I'd come to this church just for the singing and the preaching. But see, I can be inspired by a good sermon and lifted in good singing and never go to a vertical sight. There's a lot of people don't miss him. In fact, it bothers me because there's a verse in Revelation 3:20. Jesus is outside the church. It's not written to lost people. He's out the door of the church. And he says, anybody home? I'm a preacher. Sometimes I visited homes and they'd hear me ring the bell and raise the blind, peek out one eye to see if it, oh, well, we're not home. Well, somebody's peeking in there. You got a burglar. Can you hear that? You know what he said? I'm out there knocking. Anybody in there miss me? Written to a church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, is there an 8-year-old to come let me in? I remember when they're praying for Peter, a servant girl said, we'll let you come in there, and they're praying for you. I can't get up right now. You're supposed to be in jail, but I'll let you in. Anybody here missing? Can I ask you a question? What supernatural encounter have you had recently with the Almighty? And we wonder why the nation is struggling. Can we talk about something that we ourselves have not encountered? You know, when you need a revival is when service becomes unsatisfactory. It's not satisfying anymore. When worship is not wonder-filled. When prayer is at a plateau and it's just perfunctory. Father, thank you this day and all you many blessings. And here we go in our little phrases. But you know, when you're really hurting, you cry out. I've never been to an ICU unit and asked the dear white lady outside because her husband's had a massive heart attack, would you like me to pray for you? Please do. Father, thank you this day and all you mean blessings. God, guard and protect us. Bless those missionaries on home, far, and field. And I pray today they'll have a good day. And forgive us all our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, ma'am. Does that stir you? See, the truth is, prayer is no longer a time of openness with God. It's a time of, check that off my list, did that. These two men said, Master, please, please stay with us. Please stay with us. We have a sweet military couple in our church, and he's been deployed. Got to come home for about 8 weeks, 6 weeks on a R&R and something else he had to do at home. And got 6 weeks off. And boy, she surprised her at work, and she went through the roof, jubilant. But I saw her the last week, and she said, Pastor, he's going away this week. I can't stand it. And then came the 2 days before, and she's referring to Facebook, pray for me. He's getting ready to leave. I just wish he could stay longer. Anybody here miss Jesus? I don't mean church. You're at church. Anybody ever miss Jesus? You remember how excited you were when you came to know Jesus, and how thrilled you were when you got an encounter with Jesus, and how suddenly the Bible just devoured it, and you couldn't wait to sing. And when somebody asked you to do something, you're just blessed because you said, I'm doing it for Him. I've entered that realm of grandparenting. I used to think y'all at white haired had grandchildren. I thought, get over it. That can't be that good. God said, watch this, and I'm a mess. I'm telling you, it's awful. I got a little grandson, Carter, who's 6. 2 little granddaughters, 1 2 and 1 1. And Janine has absolutely abandoned me since she got granddaughters. I see her on occasion with a note on the refrigerator, and that's about it. You know, she's taken by bows and ruffles and all that. My card smokes, but I don't see her. But Carter, 6, and we have a big time, Carter. You know, every granddaddy longs for a kid so they can buy the toys they always wanted, right? And so Carter and me are buddies, and wherever he goes, I enjoy being with him, and I like to buy him stuff. And he likes ice cream. And so I'll tell Janine, we had a hot fudge sundae, we had banana split. She said, well, how come you're showing it if you bought it for him? You know, it's not nice, but I like him. And I'll tell you, every time he says my name, he is my undivided attention. You know what he'll say to me? Poppy. Everything else stops. Why? He called me by name. He'll come over and stay at our house and play on a Friday afternoon, play a game. And invariably, now it's just standard. He does it as a perfunctory thing. It's already set. You know what he'll say? Poppy, can I stay at your house tonight? You know what I say? Absolutely not. We've had all you said. You go home with your mom. Don't even think about it, right? Please. Some grandparent tell me the truth. That ain't going to happen. All he's got to say is, Poppy, could I stay with you? You know what he says? What do you want to say? Come here. Anybody here cried out to your Heavenly Father recently? please come stay with me. But please don't be distant from me. But please don't be far from me. Please. What do you think he's going to say? I've been waiting on you. You know what revival is? It's a time for us to go back and say, you know, we were seeing life from this horizon, from this perspective, and now he wants to see it from his perspective. And what they saw was death. He said, did you not understand the Son of Man had to suffer these things, that death could be defeated and life eternal be yours? And you know how excited they got? Suddenly they go in the home. They said, stay with us. They go in the home and the guest becomes the host. And it says he sat down to break bread. Now, I don't know what they saw. Maybe in the light of the room, it was dark outside, gotten light in the room. He may have pulled the hood back on his robe, and they saw his face. Maybe they saw the prints, the nails in his hand. Maybe they'd been in the Passover meal on Thursday night, and this is just Sunday night. And the minute he broke that bread, they thought, we just saw this, and those are his hands. But something happened at that table. And when he broke the bread, they realized it's the Lord. Can I ask you something? Did you see him this morning before you came to church? Did you meet with him yesterday and praying, getting ready for today? When was the last time you just had this unusual awareness of the presence of the Almighty? The Bible said the minute their eyes were opened, now they were rejoicing, they were revitalized, they were revived. And Jesus said, I got to go. I mean, he's just been out of the grave now since morning. And this is late on Sunday. He said, I got other people I got to go see. You're okay now. And many like you will never see me, but will believe because of what they believe happened with you. And you know what those people did? They got up from that table. It's dark. They have walked 7 miles downhill to get home that afternoon. You know what they did? They got out. They got out from the table, out of their house, and they ran uphill, because it's uphill to Jerusalem, 7 miles uphill to get back and say, God, tell you what we saw. God, tell you who we saw. I mean, we had a divine encounter. I don't mean it's ugly. When's the last time you didn't want church to be over because he was in the room? When we meet him, we want to tell us, now I'm old and I know that, but my dad was a preacher. And when I was a boy, we used to have, in those days, 2-week revivals. We could have them now, but it'd be me and the preacher the second week, I think. You know, everybody's busy. But I can honestly remember those, as a boy, I can remember people bringing their friends, spring and fall. And their friends would come, and they'd come up to see my dad before the service. Say, Brother Gar, I'm so excited. My friend Tom is here. And Tom, I've been praying for a long time. I'm praying tonight he'll get saved. And then somebody, I brought my neighbor. I brought my co-worker. I brought my husband. I remember on one occasion, a man that my dad had witnessed to, and several in town had, but he was sitting about midway back in an aisle. We had this same color carpet, not the same pattern, but this color. And he stepped out of a pew and he started down the invitation. Everybody around him was just suddenly broken. And his wife was so moved, she came behind him. She's so excited, she had a handkerchief in her hand. And she was waving it like a white flag of surrender. I hadn't seen that in a long time. Have you? What happened to us? These people ran 7 miles to tell disciples that were hurting, I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. You know what revival is? A fresh encounter with God of the real kind that is so powerful once you've had it. Nothing is the same. I want you to pray with me.